Hello and welcome to the Crisis Point Podcast. I'm Eric Sammons, your host and the editor-in-chief of Crisis Magazine. So today I'm recording this, I'm going live on this on July 6, 2021, and tomorrow is the 14th anniversary of Summorum Pontificum, which is the motu proprio that Pope Benedict XVI wrote that liberalized the celebration of the traditional Latin Mass. Before this motu proprio came out, it was very difficult. You had to get what's called an indult, get permission to say the Mass from your bishop. But now, at least in theory, any priest of the Latin rite of the Roman Catholic Church is able to celebrate the traditional Latin Mass, which is the Mass that was celebrated for centuries, even longer, before the changes in 1969. So what I wanted to talk about today related to this, I wanted to talk about my own experiences of why I attend the Latin Mass. I know there's speculation that the motu proprio Summorum Pontificum might be overturned, it might be curtailed, might be changed. I don't want to get into that. And I don't want to get into a lot of the controversies surrounding the differences between the Mass or anything like that. I just simply want to talk about why I attend the traditional Latin Mass. For those who are watching this live, I'm happy to take questions. Let me make sure I have the ability to see them. If you put comments into the chat on YouTube, I'm happy to take questions you might have about this. I'll probably answer them at the end. Now, one thing I want to note before I really get started is there are two different terms for each of the different forms of the Roman Rite that we have today. There's what's called the ordinary form. Another term for that is the Novus Ordo. And then there's the traditional Latin Mass, which is another term for that is extraordinary form. I know that there's a lot of baggage associated with each of these terms. In general, those who attend the ordinary form don't really like the term Novus Ordo. They think it's an insult because it probably has been used as an insult in the past. Those who typically attend the traditional Latin Mass, they don't really like the term extraordinary form because I think we would believe it makes it something outside the ordinary when really it was the ordinary form of the liturgy for like I said, centuries. I'm going to use the terms interchangeably here. I don't want to get into the controversies between the debate between which terms are best. But in general, when I say Novus Ordo, I don't mean that as an insult. If I say the extraordinary form, I don't mean that as an insult. So anyway, I'm just going to use them interchangeably. So first, before I talk about why I currently attend the traditional Latin Mass and have for the past 10 years, I want to talk about how I first found out about the traditional Latin Mass, why I went for the first time, why I started going in the first place. Because I'm hoping some of the people watching this either have just started recently attending the traditional Latin Mass, or they haven't ever attended it, but they're curious. They just want to know why is it that people, many Catholics now and a growing number of Catholics, attend the traditional Latin Mass. So it started, so I converted to Catholicism back in 1993. And back then there was very few traditional Latin Masses available. I didn't really know much about it. I'd heard maybe this or that about it, but I didn't really know much about it. So I converted into the Novus Ordo Mass. That's what I attended all the time. And that was just the norm for me. And that was the case for about 12 years. Well, let me take that back. That was the case for about five or 10 years. And what happened though is I started living in Washington, D.C. area, and I found out about the Eastern Catholic liturgies. Now, I always had a lot of interest after I became Catholic in the Orthodox Catholic split in Eastern liturgies, Eastern devotions, and things of that nature. So I attended a number of times in Eastern Catholic liturgy. And I was just blown away by it. I really was like, wow, this is so different than my typical experience of a Catholic Mass. It was ad orientem. It's behind the iconostasis. It's very reverent. Little things like, for example, whenever one of the altar servers or the deacon would hand something to the priest, they would kiss the priest's hand. He would kiss the priest's hand. It was all male. I didn't say she. All male servers and priests and deacons and whatnot. Obviously priests. And I just was struck by this, and I found it very beautiful, and I thought, this is something that I'm very interested in. So I started going, I wouldn't say regularly, but probably I would go at least a half a dozen times a year, probably more than that at my high point. And I did this for a number of years. And it was, to me, a little bit of an oasis, because the mass at the parish I went to wasn't bad, but it was just your very typical St. Suburbia's Novus Ordo Mass. Better than your typical, I will say that. The homilies were always strong. The music was terrible. The architecture of church wasn't that great. So going to the Eastern Catholic liturgies really made me think, wow, this is cool. Obviously, you can see from my icons behind me, for those who are watching, how much I love the Eastern liturgy and the Eastern devotions and piety still to this day. Now, after, like I said, so I was doing that for a few years, and about 12 years after I became Catholic, probably around 2005 or 2006, I was still living in Washington, D.C. There was a traditional Latin Mass that was said downtown. I think it's still, the parish still says it to this day. And I went, and my kids and my wife were out of town. So I thought, I'm going to go downtown. I'm going to go to this traditional Latin Mass. I want to check it out. I'd heard about it. I thought this was cool. So I went in. And first of all, I was very interested that it was very interesting. It was packed, a lot of young families. I noticed women wearing veils, for example, which I hadn't really seen very much before. And I remember I was kneeling there and praying. And at one point, the priest comes in. He starts doing some stuff. I'm like, okay, he's getting ready for Mass. But then I look at my watch and I realize it's been about 5 minutes or so after Mass was supposed to start. And it strikes me, oh my gosh, Mass has already started. And I didn't even realize it. It was a low Mass. And I didn't realize, basically, the priest just comes in. There was no music. He says the prayers for the altar silently. I didn't realize that I wouldn't be able to hear everything the priest said. And so this was quite a striking experience to me. But I will be completely honest. I was not at all interested after that. I wasn't like, oh, I'm going to go back to this. I was like, this is fine, whatever. But it wasn't something I was that interested in. If I want something grand, some beautiful liturgy, I go to an Eastern Catholic liturgy. That was my thinking back then. So that was about, oh my gosh, that was 16 years ago. I'm getting old. And so, but then what happened was, in about 2010, maybe it was 2011, I can't remember the exact year, I went to a solemn high Mass. This is in Washington, D.C. still, and it was for the Feast of the Presentation. I remember it was snowing. I took my daughter, Anna is her name, and it was, so it's a big feast day for her, the Feast of the Presentation, when Anna the prophetess, whom she is named after, when she, of course, saw the Lord for the first time. And so I took my daughter with me. I guess she was probably about 14 or so at that time, and I was just, oh my gosh, blown away by this Mass. They had dozens of priests and seminarians in choir. I didn't even know what that meant at the time, but they were sitting in choir. That means they're just, for those who don't know, that basically means they're sitting up in the sanctuary, but off to the side. They're not really participating in the Mass. They're not concelebrating or anything like that, but they're up there. And then also, they had a million altar boys, and obviously three priests, and at a solemn high Mass. And the music was just absolutely beautiful. Everything about it was beautiful, and the military precision of it was just amazing. What I still can picture in my mind to this day, 10, 12 years later, I can picture whenever the name of our Lord was said. So whenever the name of Jesus Christ was said, every priest and choir and seminary would just take off their hat. Oh my gosh, I'm blanking on the name of the hat. I apologize for all the experts out there who know what it is. I'm just blanking on it. The Beretta. And they would take it off, bow their head, and put it back on in sync. I was like, they practically practiced it, but they hadn't. And so I was blown away by it. But I also, what struck me was, I noticed how similar this was to the Eastern Catholic liturgies I went to. It was more similar to the Eastern Catholic liturgies than it was to the Novus Ordo I attended. That was striking to me, because things like kissing the priest's hand when you handed him something, the ad orientum, of course, the general feel of it, the general vibe of it was very similar to those Eastern Catholic liturgies I went to. And so I was just like, whoa, that's just amazing that they're so alike. And I didn't even know why at the time, why they would be so alike. But that really got me much more interested in the traditional Latin Mass. Now, I ended up, but I was still happy in my parish, didn't leave my parish. But then I moved. My family moved. We moved down to Florida. And in the area where I lived, we looked around at the different parishes to decide which parish we would go to. The one that was most, that was geographically closest, was just abysmal. There was no way that we were going to go to that. I'm pretty sure the priest, let's just say he had issues. I don't know that as any fact, but just he gave off a vibe of just, it was not somebody I'd want my kids to be around, to be honest. And then like the other parishes nearby, we go to, none of them had reverence. None of them had reverence, just the base, which is like the basic line that I draw for a mass that I want my kids to go to, is that it has reverence. And I just didn't get that anywhere. So there was a FSSP parish that was traditional Latin mass only. And so all the sacraments would be in the old rite. And that was about 25 minutes away or something like that. So we decided to go there. Now, we didn't go there because we're like, okay, we're Latin mass people. We want to go to Latin mass. In fact, at that time, I still had the stereotypes against Latin mass goers, that they were all just angry and bitter, and they were distrustful and suspicious of anybody on the outside. They were just very closed in. And so we didn't actually want to go to that parish full time, but we felt like, okay, this is definitely the best as far as a reverent mass for our kids. And so we decided to go there. And then over time, it really was a process over time where over the next few years, next 5 years, we were in that parish until we moved out of town. And I started to get it, so to speak. I started to understand the ethos of the traditional Latin mass. I even fell in love with the low mass of the traditional Latin mass, which if you've never been to that, it's just very, very quiet. It's usually relatively short. There's no music. There's definitely no dialogue, because that's not the way you do things in the Latin mass. But even in the tradition, in the low mass, there's no responses by the faithful, really, except for one or two near the end. But I really started to love it. I just was like, wow, this is great. And then I started to see the traditional Latin mass is more than just the mass. There's so much more to the whole, like I said, the ethos of the traditional Latin mass, the spirituality in particular, I started to be attracted to, which is interesting because I'm very attracted to Eastern spirituality. Yet I was also attracted to this traditional Catholic spirituality at the same time. And some people might think they're at loggerheads, that they're opposed, but that wasn't the case for me. I really found that they complemented each other very much. And I found that I'm a Western guy at heart. I know it. I love the Eastern spirituality. I love the Eastern liturgies, but that's like going on vacation for me. And so I enjoy it, but I don't want to live there. But the Western, the traditional Latin mass, that's more home. That feels more right, the Western spiritualities. And so basically, I just started going to that. And I haven't looked back really since. And so now, even though I moved, I attend a parish that celebrates the traditional Latin mass. Every Sunday, we have what's called High Mass, Missa Cantata. The point is it's one priest, but it has singing throughout it, and it's just very beautiful. Lots of altar boys up at the altar, and so I really love the traditional Latin mass. So now, that's the story of why how I started going to traditional Latin mass. Now I want to kind of talk about why I attend it still. Why do I still attend the traditional Latin mass? I mean, where I live, I drive by probably half a dozen different Catholic parishes to attend the parish I go to. It's about a half hour away, which if you talk to different people who attend a traditional Latin mass, that's not actually very long of a commute compared to a lot of them. I know people who drive even two hours one way to attend a traditional Latin mass. So I pass a number of Novus Ordo parishes, ordinary form parishes, on my way to traditional Latin mass, but it's well worth the drive. It's why I keep on going. Now, the first thing I want to say is I want to say a reason why I don't attend the Latin mass. I said that wrong. This is not a reason I attend the Latin mass. Sorry about that. Is not because of the Latin. I am terrible. Here's a confession. I am terrible at languages. I barely can even say my own. As you could tell from my last few sentences, I can barely even speak English, much less Latin or Greek or anything like that. I know a little bit of Greek from my studies, the Greek, the New Testament Greek. I can read a little bit of that. I do know a little bit of Latin, but I'm awful. In fact, here's a confession. Whenever I'm on Taylor Marshall's show, he always prays the Our Father and the Hail Mary in Latin. And he asks his guests to basically respond. Like he'll say the first half, you say the second half. I tell him now before we even go live, don't have me do it. Please don't. my Latin would be so terrible that it would just not be worth it. So he says, he graciously always says the entire prayer. Speaking of Taylor Marshall's show, there is a show I did with Taylor called 10 Reasons to Attend the Latin Mass. You can find it on YouTube. There's a little bit of overlap between that show and this one, but I recommend you watch that one as well, because Taylor talks about his 10 reasons. I talk about my 10 reasons, and there's some overlap, but this is definitely a little bit different, a little bit short. So I think that one's maybe an hour and a half. We're not going to go that long here, but I don't attend the Latin Mass because of Latin. Latin to me is, like I said, I don't really understand other languages very well. And so that's not the attraction to me. If I really am confessing, I probably would not mind if it was in English, most of it in English. I do, though, understand the very valid, very good reasons it's remained in Latin over the years. I understand the value of a liturgical language. Many of the Eastern rites, beautiful liturgies, they have taken the vernacular, although they almost always have some of the liturgical language as well. But I do understand and I appreciate the value of a liturgical language like Latin, particularly in a time today like today where we have lots of people with some funny ideas of theology. Being able to not change, being able to have a language that's very unchanging and very precise for the liturgy, I think has a lot of value. So I'm not saying I think it should be changed to English. I'm just saying Latin isn't the reason I attend the Latin Mass. So that I just want to get that out of the way. But I'd say the main reason that I attend the Latin Mass is because to me, it's like entering into another world. It is very countercultural from the moment you step into a Latin Mass parish. It's like I'm watching the show Sliders, which, okay, forgive me. It's like a 90s, like guilty pleasure. And it's this show where the main characters, they travel to alternative Earths. They slide to alternative Earths, and each Earth is very similar, but different in a way. And a lot of times it's almost even more radically different. And so I feel like when I enter into the Latin Mass parish, I'm sliding into a parallel Earth, a parallel universe, if you can understand what I'm trying to say here. Basically, it's like I've left behind the craziness, the insanity of this world, and I've entered into a different world, which I do believe is a foretaste of heaven. It is like entering into a foretaste of heaven. And I'll be honest, I never had that feeling attending a Novus Ordo parish. Never. It just didn't really feel like this is a different world. It felt very similar to the world we live in. It had all of the baggage that we have, but it tried to get rid of some of it, but it was almost like always a halfway job. That was always my feeling. It wasn't like I was really outside of this world. But when I attend a Latin Mass, I really feel like I'm entering into a different world. Let me just give a couple examples of what I mean. The silence. Our world is very noisy, and I've really, as I've gotten older, and yes, I might sound like the old grandpa, get off my lawn. I really feel like as I'm getting older, I've really appreciated the value of silence, because in our world, we have noise everywhere. Noise is always around us, whether we're in the car, whether we're at home, whether we're at work, no matter where we are, we have noise. Yet at the Latin Mass, there's a value of silence, whether it's before Mass, during a low Mass, but even during a solemn Mass or a Missa Cantata, there is silence especially at the consecration. There's just this idea of silence, that the value of it, that's where God speaks to us. We know that from the Old Testament, the story of Elijah, that he heard the Lord in that still silent voice. It wasn't in the thunder, it wasn't in the noise, it was in the silence. And I feel like at the Latin Mass, I can hear God more clearly because I don't hear all the noise of the world. So that's one way that the Latin Mass is countercultural, it's another world. The second is the slowness of the Latin Mass. There's no rushing. There's no like, okay, we have to get this over within an hour. I mean, I don't know what about you, but almost every Novus Ordo ordinary form Mass I've ever been to, it clocks in at almost exactly an hour, and then everybody's gone. I'm talking about the Sunday Masses, of course. And there's a certain slowness to the Latin Mass where they don't care how long you're going to be there. Now, this is where the Eastern liturgies really don't care. I mean, they can go on forever. But the Latin Mass, I've been to liturgy. In fact, I just went to, we did a pre-1955 Easter Vigil liturgy this year. It lasted 4.5 hours. 4.5 hours. It didn't really feel like 4.5 hours, though. It was just beautiful. But the slowness of it, there's not this rushed feeling that we get in everything else we do outside of the mass. We're like, we have to get to the next place. We have to get through things. Like, we have to scroll through our Twitter feed. We have to get our work for our instant coffee, get our McDonald's, fast food. All this stuff is fast. The Latin Mass is slow. And I think that helps you hear God as well. Another thing about the Latin Mass, which makes you feel like you're in a different world, and I appreciate, but only it took me a long time to appreciate this, is it's complicated. And I feel like that's a good thing. A lot of people say, boy, the Latin Mass, going to it, it's just so much to understand. I don't really get what's going on. But there's a certain beauty to that, because there is an idea of, there is no utilitarian feel to the Latin Mass. There isn't like, okay, how can we make this the most efficient so we can make it get done the quickest and so people will understand it the best? No, the thought is, how can we praise God the best? And that might take some complication. That might be a little bit difficult for people to understand at first. But remember, the Mass is intended to be attended. The Mass is intended to be attended your entire life. It's not something you're supposed to pick up on the first time. It's not like you're supposed to show up at the age of 5 and you understand everything going on. No, it's a lifelong pursuit of understanding what's going on. You'll never fully understand it. So I really feel like the Latin Mass, it being complicated is a good thing, because it shows the focus is on praising God, worshiping God, giving glory to Him, not being utilitarian. How can we get this over with? Also, I would say some other things, more practical matters of the Latin Mass that make it feel like another world, is things like ad orientum, which means that the priest faces the altar, faces in the same direction as the people towards God. Our whole world is very, our culture is very didactic, if I can say that correctly. Again, not great languages. This idea of just teaching, just you say something and the person understands it, and then they say something. Ad orientum, it shows that, no, we are worshiping God. The priest is not talking to you. He is not teaching you at Mass. That is not the purpose. Now, yes, the homily might have some instructive points in it, and he's teaching you some maybe ways to live as a Catholic. Yes. But the rest of the Mass is basically intended to worship God. It's not intended to teach you something. And I think you see this a little bit. This is the big controversy between the readings. I know a lot of people, and I've been in this category in my own life for a very long time, even many years after I attended the Latin Mass, the idea of the readings, particularly the first reading, that it's not intended, like in the ordinary form, to be a teaching moment of, let's teach the people salvation history. It's more a proclamation of maybe a moral point that we should follow. And so this idea of ad orientum fits into this directly, that we're worshiping God together. We're not teaching each other. We're not talking to each other. Another thing about the Mass that makes it another world is the all maleness of it. The priests are obviously men, just like in the ordinary form. The deacons are men, just like in the ordinary form. But also every single person in the sanctuary is male. There isn't one female to be found in the actual sanctuary. And I think that's a beautiful thing, because it shows that the difference between men and women, and the fact that men and women have different roles. Women have a great role, of course, in a parish and in family life. The women have just such a beautiful role as the heart of the family, as the mother. But men have a specific role. And one of those roles is leadership. It is leadership also in spiritual matters, leading people to God. And that all maleness up on the altar shows that these people up here are leading us in worship of God. They're leading us to God. And they're not the same as us when they're up there on the altar. And the priest never is, because he's in persona Christi. He's not like the lay people in his role in the church. And also just the fact that the all maleness of it just is like in the face of our culture today, which has such gender confusion going on, that men and women aren't different, but they're the same and they can be each other and they can switch and choose, you know, you choose your sex and all that. It's just craziness. And the all maleness up there is a real saying, no, that is a lie from the devil, that men and women are the same, that you can choose your own sex or anything like that. That is a lie from the devil. And the Latin Mass screams that. And that's a real sad part of the Novus Ordo, the ordinary form, the fact that there are girl altar servers. I think that's just a tragedy. That's another thing I like about the Latin Mass that makes it like another world. Another thing, the reason I attend the Latin Mass is I like the fact that it's over the top. What do I mean by that? I mean that the Latin Mass gives everything to God. The traditional Latin Mass does not hold back in what, especially when you see like a solemn high Mass, in what it gives in praise and worship and glory to God. It deserves our best. The vestments are beautiful. The singing is beautiful. The altar is made out beautiful. Everything about it, the motions, everything about the Mass is made to be beautiful to worship God. Sometimes I like to think, so when I'm at Mass, you have the tabernacle, of course, in a traditional Mass is always in the altar in the center. And I like to sometimes picture our Lord on a throne above that. Now, of course, he's on a throne in the tabernacle, so I'm not trying to make a theological point that he's not there. Of course he is. But I'm picturing him in human form on a throne at the altar. I'm thinking, if that was the case, how would people act? How would they celebrate this? Think about all we do, for example, when a president of the United States arrives. You don't just have a couple of people with some band, you know, some guitars singing folk tunes to welcome him. No, you give him the best music. You do everything. The military maybe comes out and does everything precisely. And that's what we're doing at Mass. And so the over-the-top nature, the extravagance of the Latin Mass, I find very beautiful. It's a reason I continue to attend, because to me, it's like, yes, we want to give God the glory. We want to give him the best we can give him. That's also why I like to dress up for Mass. And you'll see that more commonly at Latin Masses, that more people are in the laity, in the nave, are dressed up. I'm not a real stickler for this. Like, I mean, I understand people are moving along a path, and if they're there, I love it. I honestly don't mind if they're not dressed to the nines or anything like that. But for me, it's another way of giving God the everything I can, to be over the top. Another reason I attend the Latin Mass is because the prayers of the Mass are just, frankly, more beautiful, deeper, more theologically rich. I mean, any way you can describe it. They're just better prayers. I just don't know how to say it than the Novus Ordo, than the Ordinary Form. Okay, a quick story. When I was at my Ordinary Form parish back in Washington, D.C., I'd gone to a Latin Mass once or twice, like I said. I had not yet gone to that solemn high Mass, though. Our pastor decided to start offering the Latin Mass. This is right after the Motu Proprio came out, like maybe a year later, something like that, or I think within a year. And it was a low Mass at our parish, which was not a beautiful architecturally. It wasn't great setup for it, but okay, we did our best. And God bless the priest for doing it. And I remember going there, and that was the first time I actually tried to follow along in the missal. And I had one of those red missals that are classic. Everybody knows about those, just about where the Latin's on one side on one page and the corresponding English is on the other. And I decided to read through the English while he was saying the Mass. I could not believe at the time the prayers. I was like, holy cow, because I was very familiar with the prayers of the Ordinary Form because I've been attending Mass. I followed along the missal. I had one of these beautiful missals. I followed along in the Ordinary Form. I was blown away by the prayers, how much deeper they were, especially in the canon, or what is called the Eucharistic prayers in the new Mass. It just was unbelievable how much more, first of all, was prayed for, and how much deeper and richer and theologically just profound and sublime the prayers were. And that really struck me, because it's like, it just makes sense to me. The more you pray, the better it is, right? And the deeper your prayers are, the better. And here are some very deep prayers. And now that I know the history behind the two Masses, it makes sense, because the attitude in the traditional Latin Mass was this organic development over centuries, that people just began to see that these were prayers. The prayers developed in such a way they were time-tested. Saints prayed them, theologians prayed them, popes prayed them, and over time it came to realize that these were beautiful prayers. Whereas the Ordinary Form, the prayers were essentially developed in committee. I mean, I know the Roman canon, the first Eucharistic prayer, takes a lot from the old, but it's not the same identically. And so it just really was a beautiful thing. And I remember my friends and I, we walked out of Mass, that Mass where we first kind of followed the missal. I had some friends who hadn't attended before, and they were following the missal. And that was their comment too. They're like, where do these prayers go? Why don't we have these anymore? That was a big thing that we all thought, like, what happened to these prayers? We want these back. And they are found in the traditional Latin Mass to still this day. And so that's a big reason too, because I feel like, frankly, the prayers that I'm participating in, and yes, I am participating in them by being there. I don't have to say them or anything like that or respond. I'm participating them in my heart and in my mind, in my soul. They really are beautiful prayers, and they're very rich. And those are the prayers I want to pray. So that's why I attend the traditional Latin Mass. Ultimately, and I made a joke on Twitter when I was promoting this video, that this podcast, that I could go on for hours and hours and hours. I'm not going to go over this for hours and hours. I just wanted to give a short overview of why it is I attend the Latin Mass. Ultimately, I think the traditional Latin Mass is the future of the church, which is a paradox, I realize. It is ironic, whatever the word you want to use, because it's the old Mass, but yet I believe it's the future. I think that because I think it better glorifies God, just naturally. Now, I'm not saying that the Novus Ordo is invalid. I'm not saying the ordinary form cannot be said reverently. How I've been to a parish that have a very reverent Novus Ordo Mass I attended for a while. So I'm not saying that's not possible, but I am saying that it's baked in to the traditional Latin Mass. All these things I'm talking about are baked in. They're just part of what the traditional Latin Mass is. And so that's why I really believe it better glorifies God. It better attracts souls to the Holy Spirit. It makes, if you are open to the Holy Spirit, I believe you're more attracted to God, to Him through the Latin Mass. You'll be able to be a more faithful Catholic by attending it because of that. Now, I'm not saying that you're not faithful Catholic if you don't attend it. I'm simply saying that the Latin Mass is a better instrument for that to happen. I also think our world is going crazy right now. Our culture is insane, from abortion on demand, same-sex acceptance of same-sex marriage and relationships, gender confusion, just the craziness of our culture, the cancel culture, everything about it. The Latin Mass is that rock of stability in this time of uncertainty. You cannot grab hold of our culture without drowning. What you're grabbing hold of is a sinking anchor that's going to just drop you into the sea, and you're going to die. You're going to drown. But the Latin Mass is this beautiful boat that will keep you steady in this time of uncertainty. And I really think it's uncertainty both in the world and the church. Let's be honest. It's a time of uncertainty in the Catholic Church right now. And we see a lot of changes happening, a lot of calls for change, a lot of people who are bad shepherds, people like Father James Martin being promoted at the Vatican, lots of bad stuff going on in the church. The traditional Latin Mass can be that rock of stability. And I really think it is. And I recommend anybody who has not attended before, find one and attend it. And I give you this challenge, attend it for 3 months regularly, and I guarantee you'll keep going. You won't go back, no matter how far away it is. And there's other, and those who are starting to attend, I recommend you continue to do so and really learn about the traditional Latin Mass, learn more about it. And there's a great book by Peter Kwasniewski called Reclaiming Our Roman Catholic Birthright. I was looking up at it to make sure I didn't get the title wrong. It's on my bookshelf behind the computer. And I recommend that one highly. And there's Nothing Superfluous by Father St. James Jackson. I recommend that one as well, to really learn about the traditional Latin Mass and the value of it. Okay, let me try to look at some of these questions. Hope I can see them okay. Let me just try to see here. Oh, some people just saying they attend the Latin Mass and they enjoy it. I can't really read these with my glasses on, so I'm going to go like this. I like this one. Catherine, having attended Eastern Catholic Liturgy, I did feel the heaven on earth feeling and actually wept. Catherine, I'm right there with you. I'm not a weeper. I'm not much of a crier, but if anything bring me to tears, it would be that. And I would say the same about a solemn high mass and the traditional Latin Mass as well. It brings you to tears. I mean, it really can bring you to tears because it is so beautiful. So here's another one. Oh, okay. TP just says, I don't have a question, but I'd love if you acknowledge this comment. I'm acknowledging this comment. So there you go, TP. Okay, here we go. Okay, Michael asked, some solid church evidence to hush the opposition close to me that the SSPX are not in schism. That's not really the topic of this, but I wanted to bring it up because I know it always comes up. Whenever the traditional Latin Mass is brought up, the SSPX is brought up, because the fact is that Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre, who's the founder of the SSPX, he is the man who's most responsible for the traditional Latin Mass still being celebrated today. You can't deny it. It's a fact whether you like it or you don't like it. It's just a fact. And I would argue very strongly they're not in schism because Pope Francis doesn't think they're in schism. I mean, that's the end of the story. He's given them faculties for all of the sacraments. And so even if you believe they were in schism before Pope Benedict looked at the excommunications of the bishops, of the four bishops in 2007, I think the same time as the Summorum Pontificum, or whatever you believe back was the case back then, they're not in schism now because Pope Francis himself lifted their, he gave them faculties, and he wouldn't give, he doesn't go out and say, okay, the Orthodox, I'm going to give them faculties now. So they're not in schism. Somebody doesn't like I want to bring up this comment. David Joyce says, we really should stop this ordinary, extraordinary form terminology. The Novus Ordo and the traditional Latin Rite are so different. There are two rites of mass. It is a legal construct invented by Pope Benedict XVI. I have sympathy for you, David. In fact, at Crisis Magazine tomorrow, which is the anniversary of Summorum Pontificum, we will be publishing an article by Peter Kwasniewski, which includes in it, it has a number of points in it, the exact argument you're making. And so I want to say I respect this argument. I'm not quite ready to just say I'm not going to use that terminology, but I think he makes a compelling argument. So David, thanks for that comment. I think that's a good point, because there is problematic that terminology, but I'm just using it because I know people understand it, and I'm trying to just be understood by people who might not be in all the weeds of the terminology and the debate. So, okay. Oh, I want to mention, Bill mentions that the video trilogy of the Latin Mass is coming out in August. Mass of the Ages, I want to recommend that very highly. It's going to be it's a trilogy of movies, a documentary about the Latin Mass. It's going to be beautiful. So that's just something I want to bring up. Okay, so I think I'm going to call it there, although I really appreciate the comments and everything. I think I got most of them. But again, I want to recommend to people, please attend a Latin Mass if you haven't done that yet already, if you haven't already done that. And if you do attend it, continue to do so. It's a beautiful thing. I really think it's the future of the church. I think it's the way, it's the number one way we solve the crisis in the church and in the world. I mean, this is crisis point. We talk about the crisis in the church and the world. I'm not saying it's the only way. I'm not saying it's by itself, it will solve everything. I do think, though, it's a good basis to build off of so that we can solve we can overcome the crisis in the church and the world. Okay. So until next time, I have a great guest this week for our my interview that's going to go on Friday. I'm very excited about this. It has to do with my own book, Deadly Indifference. I'll just tease it with that. I never want to say the name in case something happens, it gets canceled, but I'm really excited about that one. So that's going to be this Friday. So I hope you check it out then. So until next time, God love you.